Well, greetings to all in Jesus' name. It's a joy to be together this morning in the presence of our Lord and His people. Open your Bibles to Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. And reading the first three verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name this morning. We come to your throne of grace and mercy, asking for grace to help in our time of need. Father, we are needy this morning. Oh Lord, we need you more than we probably even realize or comprehend. Father, we acknowledge that Jesus was right when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So, Father, we recognize our dependency upon you, and we ask for your grace to abound in each of our hearts here today. We ask for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be manifest to every soul present. Oh, Father, do not pass us by. We are calling upon you, Lord, desiring to receive life, truth, and grace upon our hearts here today, for we are very needy, Lord. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus you would bless your word, anoint your word upon my lips and upon the hearts of all of us here together, that we would receive it with meekness and we would grow to become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. A beautiful blessing pronounced to the saints and the faithful in Christ. Grace, grace, that divine influence upon the heart, which is then reflected in our lives. Grace, which affords joy, delight, sweetness, grace, the goodwill of our Heavenly Father, loving kindness, tender mercies upon the souls of humanity, which turns them to Christ and keeps them, strengthens them, brings them great joy and delight and pleasure. Oh, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures that are incomparable to the pleasure of this world. The pleasures of earth are fleeting and short-lived. Oh, but the pleasures that are at the right hand of our Heavenly Father are eternal and are forever. And God's grace poured out upon us. We have an inheritance. We have a deposit. We have a down payment, you might say, in a very small measure of the fullness that we shall receive when we see Him face to face. Grace to you, Paul says, to the saints and the faithful, grace. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. It's the desire of my heart today that our hearts could be encouraged and inspired in prayer. Praying for you. Is that my testimony? My life? My passion? Is to prayerfulness, to praying for you. I want to invite the congregation. You know, I think maybe I should turn this around. I believe that might work better because it looks like the... Yeah. So let's look at exhortations to prayer, or you could say maybe commands to prayer from Scripture. So we have I don't think I spelled that right, did I? Commands to prayer. So what we're going to look at here today is commands to prayer, and who are we to pray for? Whom are we to pray for? What are we to pray for specifically? We'll just put down the what. Let's find examples in Scripture. Examples. Oh, and then this is what's going to get really exciting and encouraging. Personal testimonies, how you have been inspired or maybe prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for a given situation, and the Lord heard that prayer and answered that prayer. Personal testimonies of answered prayer. Or maybe you're still praying for it and you haven't seen the answer yet, but it's a burden on your heart. Personal testimony. So just call them out. Where do we find commands in Scripture for prayer, and what are they? We can look at the whom, the what, but commands to prayer. Yes, Brother Bill.
Pray for each other, pray for the saints.
Pray for the saints. So to whom is each other? Okay. All right, others, call them out.
Peace of Jerusalem.
That would be a what, wouldn't it? Okay, yeah, we're to pray for the peace. Peace of Jerusalem. Okay? Pardon my scribble. Okay, that is a command to prayer. Commands to prayer without ceasing. Is that a C or a S? C. C. E. Is it C E? C E A S I N G, maybe? Okay, we're to pray without ceasing. Commands to prayer. Exhortations to prayer.
Authorities.
Whom? Authorities. All right, authorities. Presidents, kings. I'll just put down kings. No more kings' rallies. Yes. Whom? Persecutors. Persecutors. And Jesus is our example. Certainly, Jesus needs first place here. Examples is Jesus.
Daniel was another example. He prayed consistently, regularly, often.
Daniel prayed even though he knew there was a decree against it.
I think David could go along with that also.
David? Persist, persist, keep at it, persist. Okay, without ceasing, persistent. Persist. That's good enough, persist in prayer.
If you want to finish off who,
yes.
In 1 Timothy 2, 1, chapter 2 says, I exhort therefore that first all supplications, prayer, interceding, and give of thanks be made for all men. So you could finish off who?
All men. Here we go. And do you think women are excluded? No. For all people. Okay. For whom? I'm going to want to narrow it down to a narrow focus today as we share further in the message. And we haven't identified that yet. Yes.
Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Yes, that's good. Pray to the Lord of harvest. So we'll just put on here the Lord of harvest. And who is that, Elijah? The Lord of harvest. Who is he?
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus was the greatest soul winner. Pray to the Lord of harvest, our Heavenly Father.
Our enemies?
Yeah, I was wondering if somebody might say that. Our enemies. Okay, enemies. It's a little bit wrong. Forgive my spelling. I was not the greatest in school. You young children don't follow my example. N-E. Does that help? No, it doesn't much. Okay, that helped. Okay. There is so much more. Is someone just bursting with something you want to share to put up under one of these categories? Yes. Yes. So prayer, commands to prayer, are to pray without ceasing, persistent, and in secret. Well, we're maybe going to run out of space up here. In secret. Okay. Thank you for that, brothers and sisters. I think we'll leave it there for now. And we'll look at our text again here. All right, Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And verse 9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So as we look at Paul's letters to the churches, in his introduction, he would give a blessing, and then he would often go into the very next thing he would say is how he loves them and how he is praying for them. So what I would like to take in the message this morning is to look at this matter of prayer for one another. Prayer in the congregation at Joy Christian Fellowship. And the title is, let's see, I can just write that here. The title today is, oh, this is a different color. P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, praying for you. And we'll get more definition to the you as we go along, but is my life marked with a prayer life? So as a husband, who should I be praying for first? Husbands, come on, call it out. My wife. And what I thought about in sharing testimony, we might be a little reluctant to share testimony because we don't want to pat ourselves on the back or we don't want to brag about ourselves. But I want to really encourage us. It can be encouraging as a body of Christ to share testimonies of how the Lord is impressing upon our hearts in prayer and answers to prayer. So one of the things I like to do every day is to pray this prayer. Lord, make me like Jesus today. Father, I want to love my wife today like Jesus loves his church. The example that Jesus gave of how he nourishes and cherishes his church, his body. Every husband here this morning, I urge you to pray that from the depth of your heart and mean it. Lord, that I may love my wife as Christ loves his church. It'll transform your marriage. It'll transform your own heart. Brother Jason, as you were sharing the other Sunday. You know, when I'm in right relationship with my Heavenly Father, it brings me in right relationship with my wife. When I'm surrendered and yielded to my Heavenly Father, it just brings a blessing upon my life and my marriage. Could Jenna say amen? She didn't hear that. Oh, God bless you, my sweetheart. She doesn't like to be in the focus of the spotlight, so I won't bring her up into that. I'm so blessed to be married to this woman for 49, 8. Oh, I'm just loving it so much, I can't hardly wait to get to 49. And then 50. Wow. Yes. Praying for you. Oh, daddies. After your wife, you pray for your children. Oh, Nate, pray for your children. Bless them. The Father's Blessing. Have you ever heard a book titled by that? The Father's Blessing. I can still remember as a little boy wanting my father's blessing and how much it meant to me when he gave me a word of affirmation and well done. Oh, dads, don't miss the opportunity that children grew up so quick. Caleb, you can bless your little son even when he's only 2 years old. And he knows he's blessed. There is a fragrance. There is a spirit. There is an attitude that flows out. And pity the children who grow up in a single parent home with boyfriends in and out, and they hear harsh words and cursing. Pity those poor children whose lives are being crushed and they're being scolded and pushed away. Oh, God forbid that that should ever be the case of any of us daddies here. But rather we embrace our children. They know they are beloved. This is my beloved son and daughter. Yes. Pray for you. I pray for you, Paul said, to the church at Colossae. Was there something else he said in there? I left one word out. I think I left one word out. Praying, what was the word he said? Always. Yes, praying always for you. And then in verse 9, he said it this way, I do not cease to pray for you. And then he gets into some specifics. And our board is not going to hold the specifics. It's just not big enough. I think the blue marker shows up a little better. Let me take that one again. All right, specifics. Let's look at specifics. How can you pray for him or her with specific prayer that's going to be effectual in the heart of those you're praying for. What does he say? He says, I do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Wow, how many young people would like to know what is the will of God for my life? I want to know that today. What's the will of God for Aaron and Janice in our senior years? But we're young yet, but we're getting closer to senior because we get senior discounts at some places. It's sort of frightening. They ask you, you senior citizen? Oh, I guess maybe. So to pray. It's good for you to pray yourself. Lord, I want to do your will, just like Jesus. Oh, Lord, I delight to do your will. Lord, I want to be emptied of my self-will and filled with the knowledge of your will. How about we start praying that for each other? Lyndon, that you shall be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I'm praying that for you. Tim, the knowledge of God's will. To know and understand what the will of God is for your life. And it will defeat and destroy those lies of the devil. Because you get flooded with the knowledge of God's will. His will is high. His will is holy. His will is perfect. Wow. Let's pray for you with desire. It's not just a little, oh, well, I got to do my prayers now. Got to say my prayers now. But no, to pray with desire and fervency that Paul is going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for right now. That you young people, you're desiring and receiving revelation of God's will. And I'm telling you, God's will is so much better than your own. It is. And one of the keys to understand and know God's will is to be free from my own will, correct? Is to be able to yield and to give up and surrender myself, my will, to the will of my Heavenly Father. All right, so what can we put on here? The what? The knowledge. Of God's will. What else does he say here? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, to have the wisdom of God. That wisdom that comes from above. That wisdom that produces a peacefulness in my heart. That wisdom that produces a life that is open to correction and instruction. James 3, he talks about that wisdom that is from above, peaceable. It's pure. It makes me easy to be entreated. It makes it easy for me to hear my daddy when he gives me counsel and says, son, daughter, would you please hear my counsel? I'll leave it there. Daddies will finish it out. But you know, that is so important. Wisdom, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That we have a fear of God in our hearts. We're going to answer to Him. And my daddy is my authority as I'm at home in my father's house. And my mom is my authority. Wisdom, spiritual understanding. Oh, to be in the Word of God. To be immersing ourselves in the Scripture. Filling our hearts with the wisdom of God. I would encourage you, read a proverb every day. Read a proverb every day. And when you come to the end of the month, you've read all 31, turn around and start all over and read a proverb every day. Filling our hearts with wisdom. Spiritual understanding. And what else is he praying for? He's praying that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He just expounds it so beautifully. We're walking in a way that is worthy of whose we are. I'm a child of the King. And I'm walking unashamedly, humbly, but unashamed. So there was these two girls that were going on a trip out of their own little community of plain folk and going to drive across the country. And the one girl was praying like this, "Oh Lord, give me opportunities to share Christ as I go. Let him ask me the question that I get asked when I get out of this plain community at times. Why do you wear that thing on your head?" And she was just so looking forward to opportunity. And it happened. Yes, somebody asked her. And she was able to share. "It's because I belong to Jesus. I'm a Christian. And it's because the Word of God tells us of the blessing that falls upon me as I obey His Word and I cover my head, showing I'm under the authority of my Heavenly Father and of the headship over me, my daddy, my husband. I'm under the authority that God has established. And because of that, I have a power on my head. There's a grace, there's a blessing that the Scripture pronounces upon me. That's why I wear that thing on my head. Do you know Jesus? Did you know that's in the Bible? I do it because to please my Savior and to be obedient to the Scripture and to receive the blessing that falls upon me from my Heavenly Father." The other young lady, she's driving across the country and she gets into this place where there's those who have never seen the plain people and the head covering. And so they ask her, I don't want to be rude or anything, but may I ask you, why do you wear that thing on your head?" And she ashamedly, sort of embarrassed, says, That's what our church does." "Oh, it's something your church requires of you?" Yeah, it's something that our church requires of us." And she's ashamed. She can't wait to get away. And the testimony of the first one is, "What a godly young woman. I mean, just look at the purity. Her face bright, joyful. What a godly young lady. She has something." But the second testimony is, "I pity her. I mean, just look at her. She looks so in bondage. I mean, she was ashamed to have to even say anything to us about why she does this. And she said, it's their church. She must be part of a cult or something. Oh, dear brother, sister. I love the Lord Jesus. I love His word. I love His commandments. They aren't grievous. They're a delight. And I love the opportunities I get to witness in a world that has fallen away from modesty and simplicity and is bound. They're the ones in bondage to fashion and the lusts of the world and all those things. What a beauty to see a godly young person who knows their Heavenly Father, who knows their Savior, and who loves them with all their heart and unashamedly declares, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows in my veins. Praise God, I can sing. I'm a child of the King. And I know whose I am. And I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I hope every young sister here today, you know why you wear that head covering. It's not because your mom and dad say you need to. It's not because your church practices this. It's because it's in the Bible. And it's because I'm a Christian who delights in the commandments in the scriptures, because when I obey Him, He brings me blessing. All right, I just have my watch here because I'll preach too long. I really do want us to keep filling this in. So, who do we pray for? We pray for each other in the body of Christ at Joy Christian Fellowship. In Philippians 1, Paul has this testimony in every prayer. Philippians 1 and verse 4. In every prayer of mine for you all, I make request with joy. If our prayer is a drudgery and a have to, I still say it's good to discipline ourselves and pray. But God wants to take us from the have to and drudgery into a joyfulness in prayer. It's a joy to request a blessing upon my brother and my sister. It's a joy to pray for one another. It brings delight to our hearts. God is my record, He says, how I long after you. And this I pray. This would be a good prayer for us to pray. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love that you have in Christ Jesus may abound. That your love in Christ Jesus may abound one toward another. That your love in Christ Jesus may abound yet more. Yes, your love that you have, that it may be abounding, overabundance, overflowing, yet more. And He doesn't stop there. And He adds another word and says, and more. I'll read it in context. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Fervent charity among the brothers and sisters at Joy, and charity shall cover, love shall cover those irritating faults that rub me the wrong way. Love shall cover a multitude of sin. Love will give me grace. Love will give me a constrainment to ask my brother of his relationship with Christ and why is he doing what he's doing, and if I have a concern for my brother or my sister, and I think, well, maybe they're losing out a bit in their fervency for Jesus, and maybe that persecutor that we're under today who is working in our flesh is drawing us away. And so we speak one to another and we say, my dear brother, how is your relationship with Jesus? How are you doing in the war against the devil and against sin and against your own life, your own will? How are you doing? It constrains us to not just say, psh, 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 did you see what they wore today? Psh, 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 did you see what he did the other day? No, it constrains us to speak to them, to exhort them to come alongside and to put our arms around them and say, brother, press on the upward way. Ah, our love constrains us. So what shall we pray for? Oh, let's pray that the love at Joy Christian Fellowship may abound more and more. We shall pray for what? We shall pray for the love of Christ, the love to abound. Okay. Thoughts. Input from the congregation. What else shall we pray for? Just call it out. We shall pray one for another that we would have surrendered hearts. Is that correct, brother? Surrender. Okay, others? Healing for the sick. Yes. Healing. What else should we pray for? Pray for the grandchildren. Yes. Amen. Whom? I didn't put on husband, wife, but anyway, we'll put on here children. Grand. Okay. Pray for revival in our homes. Revival in our homes. Others, I think I can hear and write at the same time, maybe.
I think we should also pray for healing in relationships.
Healing in relationships. So, okay, this healing that we wrote down here somewhere. Healing in relationships. Yes. Others. Fruits of righteousness. Oh, that's a big word. Fruits of righteousness. Thank you, brother. Thank you all for your contribution. We could turn the board around and just keep going. There's so many. But I think for sake of time now, I see it's 11, we will bring this thing maybe a bit to a conclusion, and then we'll let Mark come up and take over, and you can share testimonies at that time. So here's an example. The house of Stephanus, they were the first Christians in the gospel being preached in the region of Achaia. And they got the message. And they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's beautiful. And what it says here is the house of Stephanas. I picture the whole household, just like when the jailer was baptized and his house. The whole household of Stephanas was just caught up with this joyful serving the body of Christ, the ministry of the saints. They devoted themselves to the ministry of God's people. And their ministry refreshed many. Many of you here have that ministry. I believe probably all of us in a measure. Where we have a hospitality and we share together. And we have a good meal together. We sit around and recline at the table, as it were. And we share around the table. And we have fellowship. And we minister one to another of the Word of God. Now, I want to bring us to a close with this one in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras. E-P-A-P-H-R-A-S. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Epaphras. And this was his prayers. The definition of his prayer was this. He was praying for you that you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Why don't we take that up? We pray one for another. We become an Epaphras. And I'm saying none of us aren't today yet. But why don't we embrace that and say, Lord, here am I. Count me in. I want to be an Epaphras who labors in prayers that my brother, my sister will stand perfect, complete in Christ and in all the will of God. Oh, he doesn't stop there. He says, you know this Epaphras? I mean, he's got zeal. I say that to some of these young men. They've got energy like I can't imagine. You young men, in your youth, direct that energy in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Epaphras, he is very zealous in these matters. I mean, Epaphras, he's got that as a calling, as a mission of his life, to pray for the Colossian Christians, that they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God, for he has a great zeal for you. You know, often we have invitations to respond to a message if we are convicted of sin. And we did that the last time we talked on prayer here, and we acknowledged our need. That we need to grow in prayer. I need to grow in prayer. I want to be one of those that's marked by God in prayer. But today I wonder, if we would just want to say, Lord, here am I. By standing to our feet and say, Lord, here am I. I want to grow in this matter of prayer. I want to be like Epaphras and pray for my brothers and sisters at Joy Fellowship. And I'm not saying we make a commitment a vow. No, we're not making a vow. But Lord, here's my heart. I want to grow in effectual prayer. Fervent prayer for my brothers and sisters at Joy. Would you stand with me and say, Lord, here am I. I want to pray. I want to grow in prayer for my brothers and sisters. When I have a burden for them, when I have a concern for them and I'm wondering, are they being maybe led astray a bit? I want to pray for them. And when I see them doing well, I want to pray for them and bless them. Oh, Lord, thank you. We love you, Lord. We want to be in the center of your will. We want to be sons and daughters, fathers and mothers who are filled with the passion and the burden of prayer one for another. And then to give ourselves to prayer and to discipline ourselves to pray one for another. Lord, you see us standing here. We're just saying, Lord, here am I. Love through me. Pray through me. Work through me. Be glorified through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much.